Hello and welcome. Thanks for joining us here at Believers Victory Church. Today we have an inspiring, powerful message that will change your life. Let's listen in as Pastor Peggy Heal teaches us from the Word of God.
Well, praise Him. Hey, it's good to be here today. Is it still raining? Still raining? All right. I got a great word for everybody here today. I'm just going to give you a fair warning. You guys want some warning? It's going to be a little bit of a tough word, but I figured if you came out in this weather, you were hungry for something. Amen? And so here we go. Turn over your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. We are in a year. We're beginning our year of breakthrough. Say that with me. Say breakthrough. Breakthrough. God is a big God. He wants to help us break through some things in our life, break into things, break out of things, things break off of us. It's just a year of health and restoration and freedom in Him. Doesn't that sound good? And so we're getting ready to finish up our 21 days of prayer and fasting. We've got today, tomorrow, and Tuesday. So praise the Lord. We are almost there. Don't quit now. And so but what I want to talk to us today is, how do we keep going? Amen? I mean, so many of us, we've gotten stronger over these 21 days. We're kicked off 2019 with strength and really diving into the Word, and it's strengthened us and it's empowered us, and we're excited about the things of God. And, you know, we're doing a Bible app devotion together. We have over 35 people that are doing it with us, which I just think is awesome and amazing. And so we're doing that. So when Wednesday comes, are we just going to go back to the way we were? No, we want to keep going, right? How many want to keep going? I don't know about you, but I want to keep going. And so we want this momentum that we have gotten going here in January to continue through the rest of the year. But we all know that it's just kind of habit. It's kind of how people are, that we get all excited at the beginning of the year, and then we just kind of, you know. And so our goal for this year is to be stronger in December than we are right now. To keep going, to keep building, to keep breaking through to new levels, to new things, to a higher level of maturity, a higher level of my walk with Jesus, higher level in my love for people and walking in love, my faith. I mean, I don't know about you, but I want to be stronger in December, more excited in December than I am right now. How about you? And so how do we do that? How do we do that? And so that's what we're going to talk about today, because what's happened is for 21 days, we put some things down. 21 days, maybe it's your phone. Somebody say glory. Hallelujah. You know, maybe you've put your phone down, or you've put Facebook, social media, television, food. You know, I know some people are doing the Daniel fast. You're doing the Daniel fast and all these things. And so when Wednesday comes, we want to keep the momentum going. Now, don't worry. I'm not going to say extend the fast. I'm not going to say that. I saw that meme. Somebody sent it to me and said, when your pastor says extend the fast and it's the lady running, you know, we're not going to extend the fast, but we do want to take what we've learned. And we want to take the strength that we've gained, and we want to take that power and bring it with us, right? We don't want to just be like, that was a great 21 days, and that was really hard, and yay, I made it, but now I'm just going to go back to the way I was. We don't want to do that. So what do we do? So today we're going to talk about really just battling things that are hard to say no to. Anybody have anything in your life that's hard to say no to? It could be a lot of things. And it could be something small, but it could also be something big that it's led into an addiction into your life. And an addiction, in its simplest definition, is just something you don't want to do and you can't stop doing. If you say, I'm not going to do that anymore, and you keep doing it, guess what? You're addicted. You have an addiction in that area. And there's addictions to lots of things. There are people that are addicted to their phone, addicted to social media. I mean, everything revolves around how many likes something got or getting the right picture or whatever. Or you can be addicted to drugs, obviously. You can be addicted to alcohol. You can be addicted to gambling. We can be addicted to food. We can be addicted to TV. There's lots of things we can be addicted to. And addiction is something that's got a hold on you instead of you having a hold on it. And so we want to talk today just about how you are free. Look at your neighbor and say, I am free. I am free in the name of Jesus. And so over here in 2 Corinthians, we started here last week, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, this is Paul writing, and he says, for though we live in the world, how many know you live in the world? Though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. Let's just put a pause right there. So that this tells me two things. Number one, I have weapons. Number two, I better be fighting. There is a fight for your life. There is a fight for your destiny. There is a fight for your future. There is a fight for your peace. There's a fight for your freedom, and it's a spiritual fight. And the Bible says that the weapons I have are not the world's weapons. But they are, the Bible says, contrary to that. So I know that I'm supposed to be fighting, and I've got the stuff I need to fight the fight. I told you guys this last week, and it's a mind boggler that 62%, according to Barna Research, they do all the polls in the Christian community, 62% of believers, of Christians in America, do not believe that demons exist. 62%. Now, that's foolish. That's foolishness. Because number one, you can't tell something to go you don't believe is there. And you can't fight something you don't believe is even there. And so the Bible says the weapons we fight with, so there is a fight. The Bible calls it the good fight of faith. What's a good fight?
When you win.
When you win. The fight you're in is fixed, right? Isn't that how it works in boxing? If they already know who's going to win, it's fixed. Jeez, I don't even watch boxing. I guess that's a sore subject. But isn't that the truth? If they already know who's going to win, it's fixed. Well, guess what? You're in a fixed fight because you've already been declared the winner. Amen? But you still got to get in the ring. And you still got to use your weapons, and you still got to do what you got to do. And so it says, the weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, listen to this. Fasten your pew belt, because this is you're going to want to jump up and down. Talking about the weapons, whose weapons are they? They're mine. It says, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. And so this is telling me, it's like, listen, there are strongholds that come, and they try to form a stronghold in your life. And a stronghold is a lie you believe. And you live from that lie. You live from it. Some people live from the lie that they have no power, so they are always a victim. What happened? There's a stronghold. Some people live from the lie that they don't have the power to change. There's a stronghold because you do have the power. And so the definition of a stronghold is it's a Greek word. I'm not going to try to pronounce it, but we all know, or most of us in here know. If you don't know, now you do. That the New Testament is written originally in Greek. And so that word stronghold, the original Greek word, this is the definition. A prisoner locked by deception. A prisoner locked by deception. And so we've got to say, you know what? I'm not going to be locked by any lies anymore. Right? And so I know that the weapons I have the power to demolish strongholds. Now, you know what that word demolish means? It means destroyed to a level it cannot be put back together. That's what demolished means. It means it is splattered and shattered so much that it cannot be put back together. So anything that you feel like has a hold on you, that you can't break through from, that you can't get free from, the Bible says that you have weapons that have divine power to splatter and shatter that thing to the point where it can't be put back together, and you will be free from it. Amen? Man, that's good news. Because I don't want to live by something that's not true. I don't want to live by the lie of the enemy that says you're never going to get over this. You're never going to get through this. You're never going to get past this. You're never going to get to this. It's a never. The enemy loves to throw the word never around. You're never going to make it. You're never going to have enough. You're never going to be loved. No one will ever want you. Never, never, never. God doesn't work in that arena. God says there is possibility and power in every person and in every situation. Amen? Amen? And so we're going to talk, and we're going to just, the way that you demolish strongholds, those lies, is that you bring the truth in. Amen? You bring the truth, because the way that you make a lie no longer powerful is that you shine the truth on it. When you shine the truth on it, it can't stand up anymore. When you shine the truth on these lies the enemy's told you, it's going to break it. And so in Romans chapter 7, this is Paul writing, and he says this, and we talked about this last week, that even the Apostle Paul said, I want to do the right thing, but I still keep doing the wrong thing. And last week we prayed for, at the end of the service, 9 people raised their hand and said, you felt hopeless. You felt like that you could not change, that you were up against the wall, it wasn't going to change, nothing was going to break, and you raised your hand. And I want to tell those 9 people that right after service, I wrote your names down on a piece of paper, and we have been praying. I didn't show the list to anybody because I told you I wouldn't, but we've been praying for you every day in prayer. We prayed for you this morning. I had that list in my hand, and all of us, we prayed, and we spoke over you that you are free. That you are filled with hope, that you have a future, and we're praying that the eyes of your understanding would be enlightened, that God would show you the truth about whatever's going on in your life. And so for those who raised your hand, I want to encourage you, you've been prayed for, and we're going to keep praying for you. And one day I believe you're going to stand up here and you're going to say, there was a day in a service in January. And then you're going to say, but God, but God, and you're going to tell us how God brought you through. I believe that. The point is, do you? Do you? And so today, this message might just be for those 9 people, and the rest of you are just here. But that's okay. Amen? We're all going to get something. And so Paul, last week we talked about how he wanted to do the right thing. He wanted to believe God. He wanted to, but it just kept going back. It just kept happening again. And Paul writes here in Romans chapter 7, verse number 21. He says, so I find this law at work. When I want to do good, evil is right there with me. How many are like, I've been there, right? I've been there. For in my inner being, I delight in God's law. But I see another law at work in the members of my body, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within my members. And then he says, he's so distraught. He says, what a wretched man I am. That's Paul. And I don't know about you, but when I hear people that I think are like so far ahead of me, and I hear they got kind of the same issues as me, it makes me feel better. How about you? That's okay. That's okay. That's why Paul's writing it. He's like, listen, we're all there. We all have issues. But here's the thing what Paul is saying. He's saying, listen, I want to do good. He says, for in my inner being, he's talking about his spirit man, I delight in God's law. but there's another lot work. We are a three-part being. I live in a body. I have a soul. That's my mind, my will, and my emotions. They make up my soul. And I am a spirit. Amen? Amen? My spirit man is who I really am. That's the recreated part of me by Jesus. That's who I am. So that part of me, it always wants to do the right thing. It always wants to worship the Lord and love God and go to church and read my Bible and walk in love and forgive people. But there's two other parts. The other parts of me, they want to do other stuff. And so there is a war going on. There is a battle going on between the parts of me. And that's what Paul's talking about. He said there's a war within the members. He said there's a war between my spirit man, between my flesh. You know, our soul could be called our flesh. It's that part of us that just, you know, wants to get even. It's that part of us that wants to just smack somebody. How many got one of those parts, right? We all do. We all got that part. It's that part of us is like, don't, you know, wants to say things we shouldn't say. We all have it. And so Paul's saying, listen, all this is going on. And so I want to remind you today, listen, everybody deals with stuff. But there are certain lies that the enemy is telling us that we've got to call them out and say, that's a lie. That's a lie. That's not even true. And one of them is that we, the stuff that we've done, whether it's, you know, addictions that we have gone through and stuff, and say, we make it part of who we are. It becomes part of our identity. And here's some ways we can do that. If you're always running off with your mouth, you can't control what you say, and you say, oh, well, it's because I'm Italian, or it's because I'm Cuban, or it's because I'm Puerto Rican, or it's because I'm from Indiana. It's because, you know, I'm from Indiana. We always say, oh, it's because of this. We're making it part of our identity, like, oh, that's just how I am. No. No, that's a lie. Jesus made you a brand new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen. You say, oh, but that's just how my family does it. It runs in my family. I want to tell you right now to stop saying that. People say, oh, heart disease runs in my family. Cancer runs in my family. Breast cancer runs in my family. This runs in my family. Stop saying that. Stop right now. We just sang a song, the song that Jessica sang. It says, I'm in the family of God. And in the family of God, you know what runs in the family of God? Forgiveness and healing, redemption, restoration, salvation, joy runs in the family of God. That's what runs in our family. Amen? So quit saying that. Quit making whatever's going on in our life part of my identity. No, my identity is who I am in Christ Jesus. So let's quit making the excuse, oh, that's how I am. Oh, that's how I was raised. Well, now you're raised up together with Christ Jesus. Right? Let's just not fall for that lie anymore. I am not what I have done. Let people put labels on you. I'm not what I've done. I am not my weaknesses. I'm not my weaknesses. You know, your weakness may be, you know, I'm not good with people, or I'm shy, or I'm this, or I'm that. Don't put that label on yourself. Don't do that. I am who Jesus says I am. Another lie that tries to hold us back and will stop that momentum that you got building is that when I try to quit but fail, I just feel hopeless. I get increasingly hopeless. Increasingly hopeless. The enemy will tell you, you've tried so many times, why bother trying again? Why bother again? And you know what? God is here to tell you that every day is a fresh start. That his mercy is renewed every day. He's here to remind you, you have weapons with divine power. You know what divine means? Godly, supernatural, empowered by God. Empowered by God. What is so big that it can't change when you're empowered by God? Nothing. Nothing. Another thing that happens, those lies that come and say, you know, it's hopeless. It's hopeless. Listen, You may feel hopeless. You may feel that way. Say that word, feel.
Feel.
Feelings lie. Feelings are based on feelings. They're not based on fact or truth. And so you may feel hopeless, but that's when you have to speak to that lie and say, I may feel hopeless, but the Bible says the hope of glory lives on the inside of me. So therefore, I cannot be hopeless. There is hope in me. There is hope in me. Some of y'all just need to say that. There is hope in me. It's not hopeless because the hope of glory lives on the inside of me. I tell you, I was in my office at home years ago one day, and I was writing out, you know, sometimes I write my prayers out, and I was writing things out, and I wrote, this situation feels hopeless. But then on the inside, the Holy Ghost just rose up in me. He says, but the hope of glory is in you. And I wrote that down. I said, but the hope of glory is in me. The hope of glory, that's Jesus. Amen. He dwells on the inside of you. Don't fall for that lie. Nothing is hopeless. When Jesus was in the tomb, it looked hopeless. When Lazarus was in the tomb, it looked hopeless. There's so many hopeless situations in the Bible, but then we got, but God.
Yeah.
I'm sure when the children of Israel were running from the army, I'm sure it looked hopeless with the Red Sea in front of him, but we just sang the song, you split the sea so I could walk right through it. There's nothing hopeless with God. I don't care what info you've received, what diagnosis you've received, what somebody has told you. There is nothing and no one hopeless with God.
Never.
It's not possible. Because he's the hope of glory. Amen? Oh, that's good. Somebody needs to hear that today. And then another thing that happens when we're falling for these lies that try to drag us back into old habits, try to drag us into addictions, try to drag us into really what are counterfeits for the presence and the power of God. And that's this. And this is dealing directly with an addiction mindset. And it says this, I ease the pain by getting my next fix. I just need another fix. I think it's comical that it's called a fix, because it does not fix anything. It doesn't fix us anything. But that's what we say. We say, I just need one more time. And it could be many things. It could be drugs. It could be alcohol. It could be food. It can be another sexual encounter. It could be another relationship. It could be all kinds of things that are a counterfeit for the power of God in your life. Oh, if I could just this, whatever the this is, whether it's money, whether it's people, whether it's drugs, whether it's alcohol, whether it's food, whether it's social media, whether it's pornography, whatever it is. If there's just that hunger for one more time, we'll fix. It won't fix. It's a lie from the enemy. It's a lie he tells you, because none of those things will fix anything. And so when the enemy comes and says, oh, you just need this, we need to shine the light of truth on it, saying, oh, I need the fix.
Amen. Jesus.
I need Jesus.
Yes.
I need Jesus. And so we got to shine a light on those lies and say, you know what? I'm not going to fall for those anymore. I'm not going to fall for those lies anymore. Over in Romans chapter 7, verse number 24, Paul's continually writing about his struggle. He's writing about his struggle so we can see how he got through it and we can learn from it. And he says, I've tried everything and nothing helps. Maybe that's you today. You say, I feel like I've tried everything and nothing helps. He said, I'm at the end of my rope. Is there no one who can do anything for me? Isn't that the real question? And he's preaching to us, so he gives us the answer. He says the answer, thank God, is that Jesus Christ can and does. He acted to set things right in this life of contradictions where I want to serve God with all my heart and mind, but I am pulled by the influence of sin to do something totally different. And so you know what? If you're here today and you say, man, did I write that? This sounds like I wrote that. It might feel like you wrote that. We want to serve the Lord. We love God. If we were to go around the room with a microphone and say, hey, do you love the Lord? We'd all be like, yes, I love the Lord. But I got this going on. You know, the Lord's talking to me and he's pushing me a little bit to move out of some things, to move away from some situations, to stop making the same choices. And I want to with everything in me. Listen, I've sat in people's homes, I've sat in cars, I've stood in parking lots, I've sat in my office, I've been up here, and I've held the hands of people crying their eyes out, just sobbing because they want to do what the Lord wants them to do. But they keep falling back. They keep falling back. And you know what? Paul was one of those people too. But you know what? There is an answer. There is a solution. There is a way to break that cycle of in and out and in and out and up and down. You can break that once and for all. Break it and say, that's it. I am not living like that anymore. This is my year of breakthrough. This is my year of breakthrough. And Paul goes on to write in Romans chapter 8, it's the same conversation he's having. And he's speaking to us today. He's saying, listen, if you feel like they're at the end of your rope, if you've tried everything and nothing seems to help, he said, Jesus Christ is the answer. He can and does. He can and does. But then he goes on and he's going to tell you something you're going to want to hear. He says, therefore, there is now no condemnation. No condemnation. You can come boldly to God with all your baggage, every addiction you've ever had, every failure, every sense of hopelessness. You can bring it all right to the Lord, and there is no condemnation. You know what that means? He's not going to be like this. That's how people are. You ever have somebody when you're like, whether it's a diet or whether you're, you know, going to break through an addiction or whatever, and you've tried and failed many, 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 many times, and then you go to them and you say, you know what, this is my day, this is it, I'm going to do it, and they look at you and go, I've heard this before, here we go again, how many days are you going to do this time? You know what that's called? Not good. Because well, how does that make you feel? Not good. See, when something makes you feel not good and it kind of pushes down on you, takes the wind out of your sail, rains on your parade, makes you feel like you can't do it, you know what that's called? Condemnation. Condemnation pushes you down. It says you're not going to make it. You've been here before. You've tried this. You're a dirty, rotten sinner. All you are is an addict. I've seen you before. This isn't going to happen. This is how your mama was. This is how your dad is. This is how everybody know you know is. This is how it's always going to be. That, my friend, is condemnation. And when you recognize it, you need to be like, uh-uh. No, no, no. And if people continue to be like that, you need new friends. You need new friends. Because I'll tell you what, I don't care how many times you tell me you're going to start, I'm going to be your cheerleader. You know why? Because that's Christ-like. Amen. That's Christ-like. And so he says, therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. What did Paul just say? Paul just said, man, I'm really struggling. I'm at the end of my rope. I've tried everything. Nothing helps. I want to do the right thing, but I keep doing the wrong thing. I'm caught in a loop. I'm caught in a struggle. I need help. And if you're here today and you're like, man, that sounds like me. That sounds like me. You got to read the chapter 8, verse number 1. There's no condemnation. You know why there's no condemnation? Because Jesus Christ has set you free. God doesn't see you as a slave to addiction. God doesn't see you as what you've done. God doesn't see all of your mistakes and all your failures. He doesn't even see that. You know what God sees when he looks at you? He sees a born again, recreated, awesome, filled with potential you. That's who he sees. He sees what you are to be. He sees what he saw you at in Jeremiah 29:11. Yes. That's what he sees.
Yes.
That's why there's no condemnation. When you bring all that struggle to the Lord and you bring all that those battles in your members, as it says, between your soul and your spirit, when you're honest with God and you're real with him and you bring it to him, he says, I don't have any condemnation for you. I have freedom for you.
Yes.
Man, isn't that good?
Yes.
That's so good.
Yes.
But you know what the enemy will say? It'll be like, don't go to church today. Because you know what you did last night. You know what you did yesterday. You know what you did. You know what you thought. You know. But Jesus is saying there's no condemnation. Because he sees you as free.
That's right.
He sees you as free. You know why? Because he made you free. He set you free. But you say, okay, that's great. That's great preaching. But what do I do right now? What do I do to keep my breakthrough? What do I do to stay as free as God has made me? What do I do for this to win the battle? Because Paul said, I want to do what's right, but I keep falling. What do I do to win the battle? How many want to win the battle? What do I do once I get in the ring with my weapon? What do I do? What do I do once I do that? I'm going to tell you three things you do, because we want to hold on to this momentum that we've got. Amen? Three things. If you'll do these three things, I guarantee you, I put my life on it. I've lived my life on it. My husband lives his life on it. Angel lives his life on it. We live our life on it. It works. It absolutely works. And it's you know, it's like, we're not going to have a big blackboard and be like, you know, 5 million things to do. Three things. Three things done on a continual basis will change your life. Change your life. I you know, people are always like, man, do you ever get discouraged? You don't see a lot of life change. You know, when pastors all get around, man, we pour our lives into people and then they walk out or they never change or they, you know, just, you know, it can be a little like, you know, but you can't focus on that. You got to focus on the ones you can see and you can say, man, look what the Lord has done. Look what God has done. Man, what a story. What a story. Look what God's done. You know, I know sometimes I think about, you know, you got to do these things. I remember a lady coming into my office and had never been able to have children. Never been, you know, she kept, every time she would get pregnant, she'd lose a baby. Just over and over and over and over again. And finally she comes for prayer. Listen, don't wait to come for prayer. Come for prayer. Amen. And she came in my office and she told me the story and I was like, God's got a possibility. She was feeling hopeless. I said, man, God's got a possibility. God's a healer. You know, went through the word, and I laid hands on her. I prayed for her, and we prayed. Man, the power of God was so strong. You know, guess what happened? 1 year later, I was at the birth for a baby. Birth that baby. And then she got pregnant again, and she came in, and she said, we need to pray because, you know, in the past, I've always lost babies. So right, let's pray. Pray for the baby. Guess what? Baby number two comes, right? Baby number two comes. Praise the Lord, powerful. Man, you got to remind yourself of those things. And then they had baby number three, surprise. Didn't even have to pray. She was like, man, God really healed me. I didn't even know. I didn't even know. I was like, wow. You know, the thing is, you got to remind yourself of that. And, you know, I remind myself of my own life, about where I was and what God brought me through. I remind myself of many of you because I saw where you were and I know where you are. And I said, man, God is at work.
Yes.
The power of God still works.
Yes.
But you got to get in that battle and you got to fight that fight. Because the enemy is not going to go like, oh, you're going to church now? Man, that's great. You go ahead and live for Jesus. The enemy doesn't do that. He's like, oh, you think you're going to change? We'll see. We'll see. You got to fight the fight. And here's how you fight the fight. Because the number one problem we have, and I'm going to use a word that you're going to be like, what? The number one problem we have, and it's a crazy word. We don't use it a lot, and we think it means something else. The number one problem that leads to bondage and destruction and hopelessness and the enemy just having his way in our life, there's number one problem. And that problem is, you guys ready? Can I have a drum roll, please? Here we go. Idolatry. Now you're like, I don't have a Buddha at home. Okay, that's probably true. You probably don't. And you say, I don't have a little gold statue at home. I'm not worshiping a cow. I'm not doing that. No, idolatry is whenever anything or anyone has the place in your heart that belongs to Jesus. Anything or anyone. In my life, I've let people be God in my life. I've let people, and I've told this story before, I'm still haunted by the words that someone spoke to me. They were true. Man, the truth hurts sometimes. And I remember when I was, 100 years ago, it feels like, and I had allowed a man to become God in my life. And you say, well, I would never do that. Are you letting a man take you away from Jesus? Are you letting a man pull you out of what's important to you? Don't wave your finger at me because you're doing the same thing. Because that's what that means. That's what that means. I met this guy. I laid hands on him and prayed for him because he was sick. And to him, I was the church girl. All bad boys love church girls. They do. You know why they do? Because they think a church girl is going to save them. But listen, church girls, you can't save anybody. And you will not bring them up. They will only bring you down. And all church girls, not all, but a lot of us, we like bad boys. You know why we like bad boys? Because we think we can change them. Ladies, you can't change men. You can't change anybody. They may change for a minute, but it ain't gonna last. Only God can change people. And so I prayed for him. Anyway, long story short, a couple years into the horrendous, horrible, life-altering, near-life-ending relationship, he says to me, these words haunt me. He says, if your God was so big, why'd you leave him for me? And you know what? At first I was like, it's true. It was totally true. What happened? I let somebody take God's place in my heart. Where they were the ones, they became Lord of my life. I did what they wanted. I let them lead me, guide me, and tell me what to do. We may not act like that's what we're doing, but it is. What happened? I became slave to that. Because whatever is first in your heart, you will be slave to. Whatever is first in your heart, you'll be a slave to. Whether it's a person, whether it's pornography, whether it's an addiction to drugs, whether it's an addiction to gambling, whatever it is, you will be slave to it. You will answer to it. When it calls, you go. When it calls, you go. And it becomes, you become a slave to it. And when you're a slave to something, you know what they call it? Your master. And so you know what the problem is? Why we struggle so much with our relationship with the Lord, why we struggle with being obedient, why we struggle with giving our whole lives to Jesus is because he's not Lord of our life. He needs to be first. He needs to be first. Because whatever or whoever is first in my heart is Lord of my life. And so we need to ask ourselves, what's Lord of my life? Because anything that sits on the throne of my heart leads me. I don't want anything or anyone other than Jesus sitting on the throne of my heart. Amen? Amen. And so you know what? Three things. You want to change your life? You want to look back in December and say, man, look where I am. Look what God has done. Look what God has done. Number one thing, put God first. Put him first for real. Put him first for real, not just in lip, for real. And when you put God first, things change in your life. The Bible says in Exodus chapter 20, verse 1 and 3, this is after God had brought the children of Israel out. And he says, and God spoke all these words. He said, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. And you know what? Through these 21 days, God has brought us out from some things. We have been set free from things. And just like the children of Israel, you can go back to being a slave quick. And he said, here's how you don't let that happen. You don't want to be a slave anymore. You don't want to be in bondage anymore. Always keep God first. Always. Always keep God first. It's in the top 10 of the 10 commandments. You shall have no other gods before me. 1 Peter 3:15 says, but in your hearts set apart Christ as Lord. Everybody's like, Jesus is our Savior. But he needs to be our Lord as well. And you know who the Lord of your life is? Whoever the boss of your life is. Some of us, our flesh is boss of our life. Whatever we feel like doing, we do. Whatever we feel like saying, we say. If we don't feel like coming to church, we don't come to church. If we don't feel like walking in love, we don't. If we feel like speaking our mind, we do. Right? It's my right. But you know what? When Jesus is your Lord, man, things change. Things change. There's a new boss in town. There's a new sheriff in town, so to speak, right? And that's how you know if God is really Lord of your life. Do you look to him for direction? Do you look for him for where to go, what to do, what to say? Or are you just letting you be boss? Or is somebody else boss? Listen, if you're friends, if you're doing things, you're like, man, I didn't really want to do that. And you find yourself, when you look at relationships and you look at the people around you, we need to ask ourselves, do the people closest to me, the ones closest to me, are they taking me further away from God or closer to God? And the answer, whatever that answer is, you may need change in your life. You may need some change. But that's how you know if Jesus is Lord of your life. You're listening to him and not everybody else. The Bible says, but in your heart, set apart Christ as Lord. The problem is, we're talking about being free and having breakthrough and having our lives transformed and really going after the things of God. The number one problem is God is not first. That God is not first in our life. And we've got to put Jesus first. God is first in every area of my life. The Bible says, I should have looked it up. There's a scripture in the Old Testament, and it says, this is how you put God first in every area of your life. Every area. You want to change your life? Put God first in it. Every area. First thing in the morning, let God be your focus. Even if it's for a minute, let God be your focus. With your money, let God be first. The Bible says, the purpose of tithing is to teach you to always put God first. That's the purpose of it. And whenever you talk about money, people are like, oh, the church is after my money. Listen, your money is not going to make or break us. You know, no offense. Your money is not going to make or break us. God's not after your money. It's to teach you to always put God first in your life. Because you know what's important to you? You put money in. And when the first check, the first thing to go, you're saying, Lord, you are first in my life. And that's the purpose of tithing. That's the purpose. You want to see a life change? Put God first in your life. Pray about things. Don't just run out and buy cars and move and get a new job and date somebody. Pray first. Because you know what you're doing? When you pray first, you say, you're Lord, I'm going to follow what you say. It amazes me How many times people will get into a relationship with somebody and like, you know, then they'll ask me like, oh, and I'll say, well, you know, this is my question. If you've ever asked me, what do I always say? Did you pray about this? Did you pray about it? And if somebody says, yeah, I prayed about it, I feel peace about it. And this, you know, I love the story. I had one girl come up and she was like, oh, you know, I need you to pray about this relationship I'm in. And I said, well, did you pray about it? She said, yeah, I prayed. I go, are they a believer? Are they a Christian? No. I'm like, well, I'm not going to pray about that. I'm not going to pray about that. So she's all offended because we get offended when we're wrong. Wait, don't we? It's like, you're wrong. How can you be offended? And she goes, why would you pray? You're always trying. Why would you pray about it? And I said, I don't need to pray about that because the Bible is already very clear on it. The Bible very clearly says, do not be unequally yoked with an unbeliever. Do not. It doesn't say do not unless. Do not unless they're cute. Do not unless they're rich. Do not unless they, you know, whatever. It doesn't say that. So I don't need to pray about it. And see, that's how you know if God is first in your life. When there's some do nots in the Bible, if you are like, okay, and that's it, then that's it. You're putting God first. But if you're like, well, oh, I love that one. Did God really say? That's the trap of the enemy. Did God really say, let's put God first in our life? Number two thing we're going to do. All right, this is for breakthrough. We're going to keep going this breakthrough. Put God first in every area of your life. Number two, say no to the flesh. You got to tell yourself no sometimes. You got to tell yourself no. This is Paul. He's writing and all through Romans. He's talking about how to deal with sin. He says, therefore, do not let, that means I have a choice, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its evil desires. Do not offer the parts of your body to sin as instruments of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God, for sin shall not be your master. You got to say no to stuff. Listen, if you're just doing whatever you want, whenever you want, watching whatever you want, listen, I don't watch whatever I want. I don't watch whatever I want because it's not good for me. I don't watch whatever I want because it compromises the word of God. I say no to myself. No, you can't watch that. And then the enemy comes, oh, but everybody else is watching it. I don't care. So what if everybody else is watching it? They can go to hell if they want to. I just want to see if you're listening. I want to see if you're listening. Watching TV does not send you to hell. But the thing is that what happens whenever we're like, I'm not going to do that, boy, the temptation comes, doesn't it? Temptation comes. Then suddenly, I remember there's a show on, and I was like, you know, before, this was just on regular TV. Listen, just because it's on regular TV doesn't mean it's for you. And so I looked it up. I was like, oh, let me see. I might watch this. So I look it up, and I'm like, oh, no, I can't watch that. And then, so everybody's talking about it, and they're just, you know, I'm very curious. I love a good mystery, you know? I'm like, oh, I really want to know what happened. Oh, it's on regular TV. I could just watch it. Oh, blah, blah. You immediately start talking yourself into it, but you got to say no to it. If you've got that conviction on the inside, listen, God won't condemn you, but he will convict you. He will. You'll get that uneasy feeling like, this ain't for you. And when that happens, we got to say no. And you know what makes it easier to say no? Here's what makes it easier to say no. Fasting. You've told your flesh no for 21 days. You've said, we're not watching TV. I was talking to Riggsy the other day, my dog Riggsy, and I said, I know, I really miss TV. I miss TV. You know, I do. I want to watch TV. But I'm like, no. No. Wednesday, it's on. But today, no. No. You know, there are certain things that I'm not eating. I want to eat them, but you got to tell yourself no. And the more you tell yourself no, when something, a big no comes, you're going to be a lot stronger to tell it no. Amen. Your flesh, the flesh part of you that wants everything, it's like a toddler. It's like a toddler. Toddlers always want their way, right? And when you tell a toddler no, if they've never heard the word no before, and I've met a few, they've never heard the word no before. And when you tell them no, it's like World War III just happened. I mean, it's terrible. You're just like, wow, wow, right? That's how your flesh is. But you know what? When a child is raised with boundaries, guardrails, where they hear the word no, and then when they hear it again, it's something that they're used to. So there may be some resistance, but it's not as bad. Your flesh is the same way. Your flesh is the same way. If you let it have its way all the time, it becomes, what do we call a kid who has its way all the time?
Spoiled.
Some of us, we have spoiled flesh. And when we tell it no, it's just, I mean, it's laying on the floor kicking and screaming. Right? It's like that kid at Publix that didn't get the candy bar. I mean, it's bad. It's ugly. It's terrible. That's how your flesh is. But if you consistently tell your flesh no on things, then when you have to tell it no on something big and something important and Mr. Wrong, your flesh is going to be ready for it. Because it knows it's not the boss. It's not the boss. And you got to keep your flesh knowing you are not the boss of me. You got to keep your emotions. You are not the boss of me. Just because I feel something doesn't mean it's real, doesn't mean I'm going to act on it. It is not the boss of me. I am spirit led. I am spirit formed. I am spirit filled. I want to be moved by God and nothing else. How about you? But in order to do that, you got to tell your flesh no sometime. And that's why after these 21 days, you know what? We're all fasting. Between now and December, every one of us needs to have more fast. It doesn't have to last 21 days. Just every once in a while, something that's starting to become real strong habit, whether it's a Coca-Cola, whether it's candy, whether it's TV, whether it's your phone, whether it's video games, social media, we got to say to it, you know what? You're down for a couple days. You got to put it in time out. You got to put it in time out. You got to say, you know what? I'm not going to do that. You know why? Because I'm showing it. You're not the boss of me. And if you don't think your phone is boss of you, do without it. Do without it. I tell you what, that's something that the Lord really opened my eyes to when that screen time thing came out on the iPhone. You can look at your iPhone and it will tell you how much time you have spent on every app. It will also tell you how many times you have picked up your phone in a day. And when it first came out, you know, I love technology. I'm kind of I'm a little bit of a techno nerd. Don't even say a word. But anyway, and although I call my own personal Apple support often, Chris Fong. He's my personal, not yours, mine. And just want to make that very clear. But I picked that thing. I was like, oh, this is cool. What is it? What? No way. I was like, there is no way. There is no way that is accurate. This is a flaw. This is wrong. There is no way. And then I started looking at it. I'm like, you got to be kidding. I'm on my phone this much? Oh, but I'm working. No, it tells you. It tells you what you're doing. And that was an eye-opener for me. I went home. I said to Scott, I was like, that's it. I'm putting my phone down. I'm not picking up my phone unless I have to. And I tell you what, it has been so hard. It has been so hard. That thing had a hold on me. But you know what? You got to tell it, no, you're not the boss of me, phone. I don't care how much you cost. You're not the boss of me, right? And that's why people have been texting me, and I told them, listen, I'm not picking up my phone all the time. In my personal opinion, if you have an emergency, you don't text it. All right? I might be old school. But I feel like if you have an emergency, you will call me. And so I haven't, you know, so if you've texted me and I haven't called you back or texted you back, sorry. You know, sorry about that. I'll get to you. But I had to break that bondage. You say, well, there's nothing wrong with your phone. If it's got you instead of you having it, there's something wrong. And it can be anything. But you got to say no. But you know what? Saying no to that is going to help me say no to bigger stuff. It's going to help me say no to bigger stuff. We got to discipline. The Bible tells us to discipline our flesh. You know how you discipline something? You tell it no. No. And no is a complete sentence. No. Let's all try it. No. And somebody says, but why? I don't have to explain myself to you. I don't have to explain. You know, we get into this thing where we got to explain ourselves to everybody. And then what do? They try to talk us out of whatever we're doing. So you just need to say, no. This is something that I'm doing. It's between me and the Lord. The answer is no. No, I'm not going. No, I won't be there. No, I can't. And let's all be uplifters and not try to talk people out of doing what God told them to do. Amen? And then the last thing, because one more point on that, say no to the flesh. Because what you starve, it dies. It dies. Because whatever you become obsessed with, you ultimately imitate. You ever notice that? Back when I was a kid, how many people grew up in the 80s? How many people got obsessed with Madonna? Right? I mean, Madonna was everything. So what happened? All the girls that were obsessed with Madonna, they dressed like Madonna. They wore the bracelets, and they wore the dumb gloves, and they wore all that. If you did it, God forgive you. You know, but I mean, you know, it's, and then, I mean, or, you know, it's because we become obsessed with the whatever it is, then we begin to imitate it. Listen, we need to be careful with what we're feeding. What we're feeding, it's okay to like something. Man, don't let it become an obsession where you're morphing into that. Man, the only one I want to morph into is Jesus. Jesus. Amen? Because so what I starve dies. And then the last thing, you got to go all in with Jesus. You want life change in your life? Put God first, say no to the flesh, and go all in. That's it. That's it. You look at people like I look at people and I say, man, how did that happen? You went from homeless. You went from being a drug addict. You went from here. You went from here. And man, now look where you're going. How did that happen? Put God first, said no to the flesh, and went all in. If the doors were open, you're here. If there's prayer going on, you're here. You put God first in every area of your life. Whatever the pastor says to do, you do. Amen? That's what I did in my own life. Man, I played hokey pokey with God for so long, got my heart break, nearly died. And then finally I was like, you know what? This ain't working. I'm going to go all in. All in. Pastor said, read something. I read it. There was prayer. I was there. If he laid hands on people, I was in the line. I didn't care what the prayer call was for. I was like, man, I need help. I'm going up. There was a guest speaker. I was here. I was here. Needed to serve? I was here. God puts tools in your life to change your life, and church is one of those things. Church is one of those things. I remember, and Pastor Angel shares this, when years ago, a long time ago, I said, one of the best things you can do is read the book of John. Read the book of John. Read it over and over and over again. Pastor Angel did it. This was before he was a pastor. It was years ago. He is to the point where he almost has the book of John memorized. Because he still listens to it. But you know what he says? He said it changed his life. Changed his life. But you know what ultimately changed his life? Doing it. He did it. He did it. And so whatever we're going to, let's go all in. What do you got to lose? What would happen if you went all in 2019? If you let Jesus be Lord of your life. Amen. You came to church. You gave Jesus everything you had when you were here. You were open and real and brought all, every struggle, everything. You brought it to the Lord. You listened and you applied the word to your life. Just like we said the other week, you take in all these groceries in here, get in the word, and then you go home and you unpack it and you take it in. What would happen if you went all in? I'll tell you what happened. You know why? I know what would happen. Because I've seen what happens. I saw it in my own life. I saw it in Scott's life. I saw it in Angel's life. I saw it in people's lives. I saw it in Josh's life. I saw it in Mike's life. I saw it in Rachel and Caleb's life. I saw it in their lives. How they came in, they're completely different now. They're like different people. And I was one of those people too. I know it works. I've lived it. I've lived it. You will never get the life you're looking for being half in. Never. Never. It just doesn't work. Half is not enough. It's not enough. Let's go all in so that in December, we're like, man, look what the Lord has done. Amen. Amen? Look what the Lord's done. Last scripture, Romans 12, 2. This is Paul writing again. Man, if you're struggling, read Romans. He says, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. Listen to this next one. Readily recognize what he wants from you and quickly respond to it. What is God speaking to you? Right now, God is speaking to so many of you something he wants you to do. He wants you to put down. He wants you to pick up. He wants you to move on. What is it? Don't wait. Do it now. Do it now. That's where change comes. He says, recognize what he wants from you and quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity. Man, ain't that the truth. God brings the best out of you, develops well-formed maturity in you. Because you know what? What you starve dies, but listen to me. What you feed thrives. You want your relationship with God to thrive? You got to feed it. You got to feed it. It's got to become number one. Number one. Number one. You got nothing to lose and everything to gain. And I tell you, just Scott and I were talking the other night just about, you know what? We're going to come off our fast. We're making new boundaries for ourselves, new guardrails in our lives, new things, because I don't want less of God after these 21 days. I want more of God. Amen? I want more visions. I want more times of being carried away in the Spirit. I want more of that, not less of it. We got nothing to lose, and we got everything to gain. Let's pray together.